Well, we got another first Sunday night of the month here, and that is questions and answers night. And so I hope you have your Bibles with you and are ready to dig into God's Word a little bit. We had two great questions submitted to the box, and we're going to tackle both of those tonight. And so let's get ready to study God's Word together, and we'll get these questions answered, at least one of them. Well, the other one doesn't really have an answer. I don't know what to do about it. But I do have something to say about it. But it was a good question, and we'll get to that in a minute. But as always, there is a box in the back on the table in the corner there. It's marked suggestions, but that is the question box, the suggestion box, the complaint box, whatever you want to use it for. I check that box regularly and dig things out of it and look at it and read it, and anything you want to put in there, if you want to do it anonymously, bring it on. I'm ready to receive it and work with it. So, but tonight we're going to be looking at two questions. And the first one is this: are there degrees of punishment and reward? Do the following scriptures teach this? And the questioner writes Matthew 11:24, Luke 12:47-48, and 2 Peter 2:21. And so let's look at these passages and see what they say. First, let's look at Matthew 11:20-24. Matthew 11:20-24. And the question is about different degrees of punishment and reward. So Matthew 11:24. In this particular passage, Jesus is talking about some wicked cities of his time that were not listening to his message. He had done a tremendous amount of work in these cities, done many mighty works, he says, and yet they had rejected him. And so, starting in verse 20 of Matthew 11, we read, "Then he began to rebuke the cities in which most of his mighty works had been done, because they did not repent. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. And Capernaum, who are exalted to heaven, will be brought down to Hades. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say to you, that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you." So he's making a comparison here, right? He's saying that these contemporary cities that he preached in are going to be judged more harshly on the day of judgment than these ancient cities that were wicked and sinful. And so the implication of that seems to be that there's going to be different levels of punishment for the wicked. And I would say, yes, that is true. In both cases, Jesus is making it clear that there's going to be greater punishment for those cities in his day, Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum, than there will be for Tyre and Sidon, and for even Sodom in the Old Testament. And why is that? Because Jesus worked there. He did miracles there. Those other cities didn't have those opportunities. And yet in these cities where they had those opportunities, then they neglected them, rejected them, and did not respond to the Lord's message. And so they had greater opportunity. And because they had greater opportunity, they're going to be judged more harshly for that. And so that will add to their punishment. Now, we'll get to talking about that in and of itself just a little bit. But let's look at some of these other passages first. Let's Luke 12, 47, 48. Luke 12, 47, 48. Let's look at that. That's the next passage the questioner wants to know about. And Luke 12, 47, 48 says this. And that servant, who knew his master's will, and did not prepare himself or do according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he who did not know, yet committed things deserving of stripes, shall be beaten with few. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required, and to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more. So this isn't talking about opportunity, but knowledge. So there's some who had greater opportunity. And if they neglect that opportunity, it'll be worse for them in the day of judgment. Now here, this is someone who had greater knowledge. They knew the master's will, but did not do anything about it. And he says, they will be deserving of more stripes than those who did not know. And again, that indicates that there's going to be a greater punishment for those who have knowledge and yet did not act on that knowledge than for those who did not have the knowledge and didn't act on the knowledge. All right? But this is about knowledge here. And then the last passage is 2 Peter 2 and verses 20 through 21. 2 Peter 2 verses 20 through 21. So let's take a look at that one. Now, Peter in 2 Peter is talking a lot about false teachers and false doctrine. And some Christians were believing the false teachers and believing the false doctrines and being drawn away by them. And so in 2 Peter 2, verse 21, it says, "For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, then having known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow having washed to her wallowing in the mire." So these were some that Peter describes as, in verse 20, as having escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and they are again entangled in them and overcome. The latter end is worse for them than the beginning. So the latter end is worse than the beginning, and it would be better for them not to have known it than to have known it. So here's another situation where knowledge comes into play, and specifically, this is saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. So this is talking about Christians here, and Christians then who know who Jesus is and know what he does and then reject him or turn back to some form of immorality and walk away from Christianity, they will be judged more harshly. And again, it's because they knew what they had and then rejected it anyway. And so the Christian who knows what is right and wrong, it turns his back on those things, is going to be lost. Just as the person who had more knowledge yet rejected that knowledge will be lost. The person who had more opportunity and rejected that opportunity will be lost. They won't be any more lost than the person who didn't have opportunity, than the person who didn't have knowledge, than the person who wasn't a Christian. They won't be any more lost than them. They're all lost together. And they'll all be in hell together, according to what the Bible teaches. But the level of punishment is going to be different. You say, why is that? Because God always judges a person fairly, okay? And hell is about judgment. Hell is about a person receiving the appropriate punishment for the sins that he or she committed in this life, right? So, say you have a little old lady who did her best to be a mother and she sinned, but she lived somewhere and she tried her best to live a good life on the one hand. And then there's Hitler on the other hand, okay? So just opposite extremes here. Both are lost. But God is going to give it to Hitler a lot worse than to this little old lady over here, okay? And that doesn't mean they're going to have a good time, that this little old lady is going to have a good time or anything. But Hitler is definitely going to be punished more than, and that's because of the principle of justice, right? Because the principle of justice says you don't punish someone any more than what they deserve, right? So, for example, if I were to go over to Walmart here and I were to hypothetically steal a stick of gum, that would be a sin, right? Everybody agrees that would be a sin. I shouldn't do that. And then it's a crime as well, right? Theft. I walk out, they catch me, they say, aha! We see that you stole that stick of gum. We're going to prosecute you. Okay. So they arrest me and they take me to jail and they prosecute me. And the prosecutor gets up and says, this man deserves the death penalty for stealing a pack of gum from Walmart. You would go, wait a minute here. Whoa, that is not right. You are punishing him way more than the crime he committed. Make him pay it back. Make him pay it back four times even. But don't give him the death penalty for stealing a pack of gum from Walmart. There's something unjust about that, right? Sure there is. So, if you're going to do justice, the punishment needs to fit the crime. Okay? And not everyone commits all the same crimes. Not everyone commits all the same sins. In scope, in quantity, even the kind of sins that we commit. Not everyone commits all the same sins. So not everyone can be punished exactly the same way, because that would be unjust. If God did to the little old lady what he did to Hitler as for punishment, God would be unjust for doing that. So the punishment must fit the crime. That's not to say that lost sinners are not going to be punished. They will be punished. But God is not going to punish anyone beyond the sins that they have committed, or else he would be unjust himself. Just like it would be unjust to charge somebody with murder, or I said that wrong, to give someone the death penalty for stealing a pack of gum. You know, that would just be unjust. And God is not unjust. Now, just in case we think that hell might be a tolerable place if we don't sin very much, that is not true. We don't want to get that idea in our head. It's not going to be a place that anybody wants to be. The Bible teaches that it's a place where punishment is reserved for the devil and his angels. Matthew 25:41. If you're tired of the devil, you're just going to get more of him if you end up in hell. And it's a place of darkness. Matthew 22:13. It's a place where the unrighteous will dwell. Matthew 25:30. It's a place of everlasting agony. Matthew 22:13. Yes, some will not suffer as much as others, but Even the least bit of suffering will be bad enough, merely eternal separation from God is just something we don't want to think about. And so we don't want to miss being with God in eternity. Now, this question also asks, are there degrees of reward? And none of these passages really talked about reward, but I want to go ahead and address that anyway, just briefly. And the answer is no. And you say, well, why are there not degrees of reward? If there's degrees of punishment, why would there not be degrees of reward? And the answer is because if anyone is saved, they're saved by God's grace. It's a gift. And so everyone gets the same reward who are saved. Because we're not earning heaven. We're not earning a particular place, you know, and like as if there's different levels of heaven, and if you are better than others, you'll get a higher degree. No. It's not like that at all. Everyone gets the same reward in heaven. Now, we may be able to appreciate it more than others to some degree. Suppose you bring 10,000 souls to Christ, and all of those souls are there in heaven. That would be a great thing to see. And you would certainly rejoice because of all of those people that you helped to bring to heaven, to eternity. There's a greater appreciation, maybe, but not a greater reward. Everyone gets the same reward because that reward is given by grace.